We've had a lot of music so far. Music is an incredible, incredible tool. If you look in your hymnal, there's all kinds of music. And kids, I guarantee you should try to do this. Grab a hymnal and open it up and start looking at some of the lines in your hymnal. There's all kinds of little, there's like a bunch of lines in a row, and then on it there are notes, and there are half notes and quarter notes, and there's all kinds of different notes. And if you look at the fourth hymn in the book, go ahead, open up your hymnals, open it up to the fourth hymn, okay? This is important. You will find, that this is the first one that I found in this book, but they're kind of scattered here and there throughout the hymnal. You'll find this little thing. It's like a little squiggle back and forth. If you look in the middle of the page, you'll see there's notes, 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 notes. And on the middle of the page, there's this squiggle on the line. And then it goes on from there. And on the next line, you'll see another little squiggle before it moves on. That is called a rest. It's a point in the song that you have to take a break, because if you don't, the whole song is going to bunch up together and it's going to mess up what comes later. So you have this song that's moving along at a good click, and then there's this stopping point where all the notes quit, and then it kind of moves on, and it's written into the page to make sure that you don't miss it. That squiggle is what keeps the song from running away and getting away from itself. In today's reading, Jesus is talking to his disciples. They have just come back from running around the place, teaching and preaching and healing the sick and driving out demons. They have done an incredible thing, and they're all like really excited because behind them is a huge crowd of people that's following them wherever they go. How many of you felt like this before? You're like, I have followers. And so you just get all excited, and you get to the shore. They get to see Jesus, and they say, look, look at this. And Jesus notices something. They haven't eaten. They've been walking around doing all this, and they haven't even stopped to eat. They've just been so busy and so excited, and they're just really loving what they're doing. And no one has taken a break. And so he says, get in the boat. It's not an ask. It's not like, you know what, you guys should travel. No, he says, get in the boat. Like, stop what you're doing. This is a perfect opportunity for Jesus to teach, right? I mean, he has this great crowd coming towards him. He could let them sit down, and he could just let them have the kingdom right there, right? Just let them have everything that he's got, and this huge crowd would follow. It would be amazing. Instead, he gets in a boat, and he takes it across the water. As they go, the people on the shore begin to run to the next town and tell them what's going on, and then to the next town, and then to the next town, and the next town, till the crowd is getting really big. As Jesus is in the boat going across with his disciples, and they see this crowd moving across until it's on this side, and it's just this big, massive group of people, and the only time that they get to take a break, that Jesus was taking them to a deserted place, is when they're sitting in the boat. That's it. Now, I have two kids, and this weekend I'm by myself, so it's kind of stressful, right? So there are these two kids at home. So I go home and there's these two kids, and I'm potty training one of them, and I'm changing the diaper on the other one, and I'm doing all kinds of stuff for these two crumb grabbers. And then I get in the car and I take them to daycare, and I drop them off in daycare, and I have about a 15-minute drive over to work, and I go to work, and then I get back in the car and I go back to daycare and I pick them up and I go back home. This is my daily life. It is this place, and this place, and this place, and that bit. And I'm moving all the time. When they go to bed, that would be the break, right? Everybody lays down. Everybody goes to sleep. No, then I have my chores to do. Then the dishes get done, and the laundry gets done. And there's always something for me to do. It doesn't stop just because the little crumb grabbers went to bed. Now, how many of you have had this experience where the only time that you have to rest or take a break is when you're in the car going to the next place? Like, you have 15 minutes, that's it. And you start driving just a little bit slower. Just so, oh, red light, thank you. Like, it's just, that is the only break that you get. It's like Jesus getting in the boat with his disciples, and the only break that they get is between the shores. That's it. And then they have to get back to work. As Jesus is in this boat and he gets to the other shore and he sees this crowd gathering, he says something really, he doesn't say it actually, the Bible tells us that he takes pity on them and says they're like sheep without a shepherd. Now, many of us, whenever we think of sheep without a shepherd, we think there's no rest, right? They're just sort of They're just sort of, they're not guided, so they wander around, and maybe they just, with a little direction, they might be able to get something accomplished. The Bible actually has a lot more to say about sheep without a shepherd if you look in the Old Testament. When Moses goes up on the mountain, talks to God before they go into the promised land, Moses is about to die, and he tells God, please raise up another leader, and so your people are not what? Sheep without a shepherd. And so they're going into this promised land where there are other people, and if they don't have a leader, they're going to get slaughtered. That's what's happening. So Joshua is raised up, and he becomes the leader of the Israelites. Then, in another book, in 2 Kings, Malachiah, which is a great prophet name, Malachiah talks to Ahab, and Ahab wants to go to war, and he says, and Malachiah says, you're going to go to this battle, and you're going to get struck down, and all of your soldiers are going to be what? Sheep without a shepherd. Which means they're not coming back from the battle. Another time, in Jeremiah, actually, we just had this reading, where Jeremiah is telling, he has this prophecy, that all of the shepherds of Israel are bad. And God is sick of them, and he's going to get rid of those shepherds so that they can put in new shepherds, which would mean for a little bit they're going to be what? Sheep without a shepherd, and they're going to be left on their own until God's going to raise up these new people. There's actually this great little moment where the translation we just read says, they did not bestow care on them, so I'm going to bestow punishment on them. Actually, punishment and care in the original language is the same word. So it's like, they did not bestow care, so I will bestow care on them. Like, this is not pretty. So it's this sense that whenever there's sheep without a shepherd, it's not just they're going to wander, it's that they're lambs to the slaughter. There's no hope. Matthew even says, turn a page. Matthew even says, when he tells this story, that they are harassed and helpless, despised and dispirited. There's this wonderful song I also want to bring up. It's a kid's song, so I need to put down my guitar to do this. It's called Hi, My Name is Joe. Anybody know this song? You guys know this song? It's like this. Hi, my name is Joe, and I work in a button factory. I have a wife, 3 kids, they're a family. My boss comes to me and says, Joe, are you busy? I said, no. He said, turn the button with your right hand. Hi, my name is Joe, and I work in a button factory. I have a wife, 3 kids, and a family. My boss comes to me and says, Joe, are you busy? I said, no. He says, turn the button with your left hand. And so you start doing this. Then Joe asks, he's busy. He turns the button with his foot, and then he turns the foot with his other foot, and then he has to turn one with his backside, and then he has to wiggle his head, and then he has to turn one with his tongue. So he's sticking his tongue out, and he's doing this. Hi, my name is Joe. And I work in a button factory. I have a wife, 3 kids, and a family. My boss comes to me and says, Joe, are you busy? I said, yes! And that's how the song ends. Do we have to wait till we look like this before we'll stop? I mean, really, this is the lesson behind that story. I never even got it when I was a kid. Now I understand. That's fun, but it's miserable. So we all do this. We will fill every second, even the drive from place to place, with noise. We'll find a radio station that's playing something, pumping up so we can get ready for work. Or we start worse. We start thinking about work before we're at work. We start deciding all the things we're going to do. When we get there, we've got this list growing, and it's just going to go. Because if we stop for a second, like the disciples were like, let's go, let's go, let's go. If we don't stop, we become the celebrity, right? Celebrities have a problem because they don't have any privacy, because people are searching for them all the time. So every time somebody walks in your office, are you just like, I'm busy. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm busy. I've got this to do, and I've got this list of things to do, but I'm going to check this other stuff. We stay busy all the time, and because if we stop, then we're no longer the celebrity. It's like our boss is looking to us and is just like, oh, yeah, you're doing stuff. Could you do this for me? Absolutely. We got that. Check it off the list. We will keep ourselves moving so that everyone looks at us and knows how amazing we are. Now, maybe we feel that if we stop, we're being selfish and we're not sharing ourselves with the rest of the world. Maybe that's what it is. Jesus makes his disciples stop. He demands that they stop and lets them see these sheep without a shepherd moving across the shore. And Jesus doesn't send the people away. He doesn't say, okay, you guys go home, right? We're actually coming up on the feeding of the 5,000 in this story, but there is, but before we get there, it is just this crowd moving along the shore. Jesus takes pity on them, and he doesn't send them away. He separates himself away from everyone else. It's his thing that he's doing. He's like, I'm not working. I'm going to try a little exercise with y'all. It's to help you kind of relax a little bit right now in this little time and place. Raise your right hand up in the air. I learned this from a theater guy. He was really good. Close it into a fist. Now take one finger, your pointer finger, and point it up to the sky. Now with your other hand, right, raise it up, stick it into your pocket, and pull out your cell phone. Now, with the cell phone in the air and this finger in the air, turn it to where your on-off button is right there. And turn your finger towards it and close the gap until it no longer speaks to you. Now, some people are like, this is freaking me out because not having my cell phone on at all times means that I'm not connected to the rest of the world and I'm missing something. That's the point. You're not supposed to be everything to everyone. God has called us to rest, to find a place where we're not everything to everyone. We're not the celebrity. It's a good little practice. Now, you know, some of us may feel a little anxious when the phone gets turned off because we have kids sometimes, or we have other things that are on our mind. And but we don't have to be connected 24 hours a day. The cell phone is now the most intimate piece of technology ever invented. Think about it. Kids, especially, it is on you at school. It's on you when you're at rest. It's on you when you're at dinner. It's in front of you sometimes when you're at dinner. It is in front of our faces. It's at our hip all the time. When we sleep, sometimes it's our alarm clock. It is everything. It is the most intimate piece of technology ever invented. And it has created the amazing capacity for all of us to be available all of the time. Some of you may feel fine. You're like, I don't need a cell phone. I'm fine. I don't need that. Well, then try this. Sit still for 10 minutes. And what's going to happen, and I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen because I've done this. Had to do it this week in preparation for this. Sit still, and what's going to happen is something is going to come into your head. Something's going to say, did I leave the gas on? Or did I send that email? Did I text that person? Did my wife have a list of things for me to do that I didn't notice? And these things are going to start pouring into your head. And as they come into your head, I want you to do this. Picture them in front of you. Let them take rein for like 2 breaths, just as you inhale and exhale. Notice that it's there. Say hello. And then as you breathe that last breath in, when you exhale, blow it out of your mind. Just melt it away like it's just dust. And it's gone. It'll come back to you later on, trust me. But in that time, sit still and clear your mind of everything. It is incredibly hard to do. It'll happen again. The moment you get that thing gone, you're like, oh, and then another thing will pop up and be like, oh, wait, what about this? And you've got to give it its space, say, okay, here you are. And just let it melt away. It's a centering prayer. There's no words to it. It's just you saying, I'm not going to be distracted by everything that's on me right now. Are goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life because you won't slow down to let them catch up to you? Is that how that verse is meant to go? Shepherds have a very interesting job. Their job is actually whenever they go out and they take care of the sheep and they protect them and they have the rod and the staff and they make sure that they are protected, but they also teach them where to go and all of this. They gather them in a place and they sit down and they let them feed. and they count them, make sure they're all there. And then they get them up and they move them to another place where they can feed and rest. And then they get up and they move them to another place where they can feed and rest. The whole point of being a shepherd is to find a place where they can find rest, then move them on to somebody else where they can find rest, and then move on where they can find rest. Our lives are a little bit different, aren't they? Especially for me. It is like, I got to find work. I got to do work. I got to make sure I'm busy. And then I'm going to drive over here and I'm going to do busy. I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be busy. And then I'm going to go over here and I'm going to be busy. And I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be busy. It's the exact opposite of what God has called us to be, moving from rest to rest. God has called us to write those little squiggles on the page of music of our lives. Write those little rests where it's just this little marking where you're like, this space is where there's no noise, there's no notes, there's no nothing. It is just me and you at rest. Because life without rest is just noise. And the song Jesus is writing with your life is full of rest. Amen.